Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Well, good evening, friends, and thanks for tuning in tonight to this week's edition of Raising Expectations. And we've really got a great show for you tonight. I think you're going to learn some great things. You're going to meet a great fellow, a great teacher. He's going to, I know, be a blessing to all of us. We've been praying for him this week, anxious for you to get to meet Chris tonight. Again, we're here because we want to encourage you. We bring people onto the program each week who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who have watched God work in their lives, who know that God has a plan for their life, and they share what he's doing in their lives. And we always find that that's a great source of encouragement, and it raises your expectations. That's our prayer, so that when you tune out tonight and maybe bring us back during the week, you'll always be encouraged and strengthened, knowing that God loves you. God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross to pay the price for your sins. In other words, to not just come for you someday to be in heaven with him forever with your sins canceled out, but to walk with you and to talk with you each day. He's only a prayer away, and he's right there with you. And that's why we are here to raise your expectations. So tonight we have with us a great team. You know the team. I'm going to go ahead and introduce the team again so that everybody knows. We're going to begin on the West Coast again as we start here in California with Dr. Paul Hall, who's been a friend of mine for over 50 years. We've gotten in trouble. I mean, we've ministered together for at least 50 years or more together. Maybe a little more, yeah. That's true. Paul is there in the great driving metropolis of Lompoc, California, north of Santa Barbara. It's called Rocket Town, right next to the Space Force base where we do all of our missiles. And Paul keeps us loaded on what's happening with there. Any missiles fired this week, Paul?
As a matter of fact, yes. Just a few days ago, another SpaceX took off.
So cool.
It was they're exciting. Yeah, they're great.
I can only imagine. That is awesome. You go right in his backyard and watch it all take place, folks.
That's right.
Paul is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. He's a teacher, a leader. Thousands of people love this man. We do, too. And he's my pal. And we're just thankful that he's here with us tonight and each week. Dr. Paul Hall from Lompoc, California. And Paul is... he's a blessing. He's also the scribe for our program. He's the best note taker in the whole world. So as we often say, even our engineer TJ says he's the scribe on the show. So Paul will be sharing and scribing. And how's that for a new term? Scribing. I'm not even going to look that one up. But he'll be writing down. It's coming out in a book that he's working on that will be about the first couple of years of Raising Expectations. Then available for you when that's all said. He's working on that now. So if we go all the way from the West Coast in Lompoc, California, across the nation out to South Carolina on the east side of the South, east, south, which seems different for me. I'm working on it, Ron. south in Dalton, Georgia, right there in the hub near Chattanooga that looks down over the pass of the mountains there, Chattanooga Pass, and can see Alabama from there also. But in Dalton, Georgia, we have two of our favorite people in the world, Dr. Craig and Stephanie Thayer. And Stephanie Thayer, as you know, is a really renowned health and wellness coach and leader. She helps people. She's the CEO founder of Quenching Wells, and she helps people know what to eat, how to eat, when to eat, and anything that has to do with eating. In December, you get to have fudge. So she stays on the top of our line of favorite people when it comes to food. She also works in helping her husband, the two of them kind of team up, Tank, Craig is his real name. We call him Tank. At 6'7", we call him anything he wants. But Tank is our brother in Christ. He's a great coach. He's a great father, great husband. And he is also not only a trauma surgeon. Now, you all know a trauma surgeon is the guy they call when everybody says, what do we do now? And Craig has been on the mission field where he's been helping people on the mission field where they said, Dr. Thayer, what do we do now? And Craig's just the guy we want there. When we have a problem, but someday in my life, I want to call Craig and make sure you got it taken care of. He also is a great author. His first book is out. It's called Saved. You've been reading it. You've been purchasing it and getting your copy. So it's on our website. TJ's bringing it up. It looks just like that. And you find it right there, Finding God in the Ordinary. That's one of the things I love about Tank. He speaks about the way God works in the ordinary things of our lives that sometimes we might miss if we're not paying attention to see just what God's doing. So as a surgeon, he shares a lot of stories, and I'm sure that they'll bless you and raise your expectations also the same way. So moving from the south, east south, back to the central part of the United States, where we will find one of our favorite pastors in the world. And his name is Pastor Ron Greer. And he's in the great city of McKinney. And as we often say, it's even greater because he's there. And that's what we say, right, Ron? That's it, exactly. He's the only guy on our show with a
message. Usually, it's whatever they say.
Whatever they say, it works good for all of them, man. What are you gonna say? But Ron appears in and out of that bookcase sometimes. We have a lot of fun with that, how that works. So, anyway, Ron has done all kinds of things, but the greatest thing he's done in his life, he works right now with a great organization of men, Man in the Mirror out of Florida, and he directs a lot of the central area, especially Texas, dealing with men facing what God's doing in their lives. Ron's an expert counselor, a student of the Word of God. He helps men discover that whatever they're facing in their life, God has a purpose for it. And the neatest part of that is in that purpose, God is in it. And whatever they're facing, Ron has the ability to encourage, to strengthen, and to bring them into the Word of God in a very special and unique way. We love you, brother. We're glad that you're part of this team. What you do, exactly right. And so, and again, you know me, I'm Pastor Joe Schofield, and I'd like you to check out on my book, too. It's on our website also. It's called Legitimate Faith. And what does legitimate faith do? Well, it produces authentic hope. That's hope that stands the test of time. And that's when your Bible, you stop reading it, it begins to read you with what God does in the things of your life. So thanks for getting a hold of your copies there. And thanks for letting us share that with you. So there's no greater team anywhere in the world than this group of people you're seeing and hearing from right now. And we all want to bring you tonight somebody that Stephanie spoke with again. And I was telling Paul today, when Stephanie finds somebody and she speaks to somebody, wherever different meetings and stuff she's doing, she always finds a home run, just like Dr. Marianne and Will. They have been just incredible and good work, Stephanie. We're real excited to share tonight somebody very special. He's Chris Morris. He's from Tennessee. Is it Chattanooga, Tennessee?
It's Chattanooga, yeah.
There we go. And we want you to meet Chris tonight. He is a teacher, renowned, a high school teacher that went into this high school world that's extremely difficult. And he changed lives with the principles of Christ, a heart that cares, and a mind that understands math. You're my hero already, Chris, when you can do all those advanced math things. That's really something. So we want to introduce you tonight, Chris Morris, and he's going to share a little bit about his testimony, share about your dad, your family, you, and different things that God's doing in his life. Tell us about your family, too. So, Chris, welcome to Raising Expectations. We can't wait to get to know you better and to hear about what you're doing. So we want to give you the round of applause. We used to use the MGM, but this was better. People liked it better. There you go. Welcome to our show, Chris. God bless you. Share from your heart.
Yeah, thanks, Joe. Thank you, everyone, for having me. Thank you, Stephanie, for approaching me out of nowhere. I really felt like it was a God moment when you came by my booth. I think you felt the same way, and just kind of flowed, and here I am. So I can't be more thankful and honored to be a guest on the show. I'm looking forward to the time here. As far as just, I guess, a little bit about me, like Joe did a good job. I'm a husband. I'm a believer in Jesus. That's the most important thing you need to understand. I'm a husband and a father of two beautiful little girls. 7-3 that keep me busy, grounded, and working hard and laughing. I mean, it's just, it's a good time all the time. And so, you know, I have a background in math education, as Joe was saying, and I did work in a very, very, very challenging public school environment, which I think most listeners probably, if they're not a teacher, right, you probably have either a close family friend or a friend who's in the profession. And, you know, they might need some encouragement as far as the challenges that they've been facing in these crazy times, but also just dealing in a very tough circumstance and being able to reach kids. It's hard. Sometimes you feel like you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. So I hope my story can be encouraging to those people out there today.
Amen. Tell us a little bit about your family.
Oh man,
that's precious. Yeah,
they're great. Well, first off, my wife and I are polar opposites. I'm a 5'11", 6-foot black man, and my wife's about a 5-foot-nothing white Caucasian lady with two beautiful girls. I'm an extrovert. My wife's an introvert. what else can I say? My daughter's 7 years old, and her name's Eden. By the way, my wife's name's Hannah, and my youngest is Emerson, Michelle, and God already has a calling on their lives, and I'm excited to just be able to steward their childhood, is the best way I know how to put it, make things light, but protect, and, you know, I'm just enjoying this season when I have the energy to
so one of the things that actually struck me about you was that your whole family was there, because I was actually at a homeschool sort of convention helping a friend start that journey of homeschooling. And so I was explaining like the philosophy of each booth and what she could do and what might be good or not for her son. And your daughters were there and they were having food and your wife was there too. And I just saw the sweetness because I think the three-year-old was kind of done, which every three-year-old is done after, you know, 2 minutes of whatever the parents want.
Especially mine.
And I mean, she's well-behaved, but your interaction and your wife's interaction with her was very sweet. So I always love to see how people treat. Yeah, right. You did good.
That's stranger. Encouraging. I didn't know you.
And, and then I couldn't get, I picked up your book, which I know you'll talk about later, but I just thumbed through it and I was like, I need to talk to this guy. People would not leave his booth for his services. And I didn't want to interrupt, you know, a potential sale for him. So I was like stalking him for an hour in that room. I just kept watching like, when are people going to leave? But my first impression was just wonderful with your family.
Yeah, I really appreciate you saying that. I'm definitely like, wow, is that how you felt? You know, I was just trying to keep her from spilling her drink and stuff. But yeah, speaking of opposites, my daughters are opposite, as most, you know, parents who have children understand. But man, they really complement each other. You can see as they're growing up. So we have a lot of fun. We homeschool ourselves, and you know, I work from home, and so it's really nice that the Lord's afforded us the opportunity where I can work from home and set my schedule and prioritize my family, which is really important. I think for a lot of families, it's going to be important in the times that we're in. I think we really got to protect our kids, and we have to take, you know, we have to be the head and not the tail, above and not beneath. And, you know, if you don't design your own life, someone else is going to do it for you, and it's not going to be the life you want to live. And so I'm going to say that again, because somebody might need to hear that. If you don't design your own life, someone's going to do it for you, and it's not going to be the life that you want to live. And I think the first thing I need to do and be prioritizing and designing, you know, my kid's childhood experience. And so us as parents, that's our job. And so, anyway, I'll speak more to that probably a little bit later.
Great. Well, take it away, Chris, anything you want to share, and everybody will just jump in with you. You're part of the home, part of the family here, and you're already at home with us.
I appreciate it. Well, I mean, one of the things you and I, Joe, were discussing is just, you asked a little bit about my background and how I got into it. And I always tell, you know, people, if, you know, if you want to know something about the Lord, if you read the story of Moses, if you read the story of Joseph, if you read the story, many of the stories, he doesn't necessarily call the qualified. He qualifies the called. You may have heard that, you know, expression before. And so that's definitely my story when it comes to even why I'm a math teacher, and how I got to be, you know, doing my own thing, offering educational services to private families, especially the homeschool community. God just made a way where there seemed to be no way. I mean, my wife and I, that's a whole book, how we met back in 07. We met on a plane on the way to Europe. And she already had a boyfriend at the time. And then we started to get to know each other. And then we were neighbors that didn't know it. And then next thing you know, God started revealing himself to me about immediately when I got back from that trip. It was a study abroad trip. And we started dating probably immediately, and then for about 2.5 months, and I'll never forget, in October 13th of 07, we kind of, you know, you're dating, you're kind of figuring out each other, your heart's on a string, and we had that awkward, are we breaking up, are we not, conversation, and I never felt God's peace hit me so hard when we were having a tough conversation. You know, gentlemen, mm-hmm. you've ever been through there, or ladies, you know, and I felt like in the natural, everything was falling apart. And here we go again. And God's peace came in my chest like a hot furnace. It was real. It wasn't like an emotion. And it kept mm-hmm. me chill. And I remember when it happened, I said, man, this is a peace that surpasses understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And I had read that verse my whole life. I grew up in church, but didn't mean anything to me until that moment. And I was like, this is a peace that surpasses understanding. And God walked me through a very tough season where we were apart, and God told me, I'll never forget, in the Christmas, he told me, this is where it got really real for me, because I couldn't understand why I kept loving this person, no matter what we went through. Tough stuff. I mean, I got mad at other girlfriends, you know, for things that were way less than what I was going through here, but I couldn't help but love this person. And I was conflicted, and I didn't understand why. And I'll never forget when God told me, he goes, Chris, he said, you love me because I first loved you. And even so, she will love you because you first loved her, and you're to reflect my love for her on earth. That's your assignment. And I can't make that up. A, I'm not that smart. And B, that's what the Bible says. Husbands love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff is real, you know? And so as I walked out a very tough journey there, and it led me to my wife, and God was true. And I knew not only was Jesus Christ the way, the truth, and the life, but also every one of his promises are yes and amen. It helped me be able to trust him for more and more challenging things. I thought I was just going to go through one little hurdle in my life and then have a nice little sweet normal American existence. And God was like, ah, here we go, buddy. You know? And so, yeah, buckle up, buttercup. So anyway, I said a lot in a very short period of time. That's a whole separate book. But in, you know, around that time, it was in 08. So nobody was getting jobs when you were coming out of college in 08. You know what was happening in 08, right? If you got a job, you were the first, you know, last one in, first one out. The 08 crisis. I mean, the only job I could get was, at the time, was like through government programs and stuff. And so I had a knack for algebra. I mean, that was really my thing. I had a knack for algebra. And I wouldn't even say I was like a math guy. I felt like I was a semi-algebra guy, and I would tutor, and I did that in college on and off. And so they kept sending me to, you know, some of the more difficult inner city struggling schools to help with some of their after-school programs, and even in school to help the teachers who were drowning and quitting in the middle of the year, because that's just how it was, because it was a rough school. And I would come in and damage control, and I could teach math a little bit. And those are the only doors opening for me, you know? And I was learning to trust God at that time. And I didn't really know what my career was going to look like. I felt like I let go of all my plans when I said yes to the Lord about this woman I was supposed to marry, but it still took a year and a half for that to unfold. But I just knew, I said, well, God, it's your plan at this point, not mine. And sure enough, when it was time, he opened up this very unique opportunity where people who didn't necessarily study to be a teacher in education could get into the field and get their master's in a shorter amount of time. So I ended up getting my master's paid for. They paid me a stipend on top of my salary, and it was with a contract. And so I had to teach wherever the school that they assigned. That was kind of part of the deal. And so we were able to get married. You know, it was the fulfillment of God's promise to me during that, getting into that program, because just financially speaking. And then, you know, I found myself at this school that was very diverse. Tell me if I'm talking too much, guys, but it was very diverse.
You're the guest.
Probably. Yeah, yeah, true. Oh, okay, cool. Get treated like a guest. So anyway, probably the most diverse school in Chattanooga at the time. It probably still is. It was probably about, I don't know, 50% white, 35% African-American, the rest was Latino, and then a good mix. It was a very interesting group, but poor. Everyone had that in common for the most part. It was a very impoverished school. I grew up, I mean, I'm Black, but when I look at my life, I realized, you know, I don't have the stereotypical, you know, experience that some people have. My dad was a doctor too, so shout out, surgeon. Nice to meet you. You know, I had this idea of what school was. You know, you listen to the teacher, you do your homework, there's respect. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. You know, I thought that was what you did in America. And these kids were looking at me like, we'll do our homework if you do us a favor. And, you know, they're looking at doing their homework assignment, like doing me a favor, so I didn't lose my job. You know, what are you going to do for me? I mean, these people had know, I was just blown away. So my first 3 years were just one big, what is going on? What is going on? What is going on? I mean, you know, you got a kid in high school and they can't tell you what half of 12 is. Literally, it took 10 minutes. I said, well, what's half of 12? I'm trying to teach them how to factor a quadratic trinomial. Okay. If you know what I mean, great. If you don't know what that means, let's just say you need to know what half of 12 is as part of that process, right? And yet they're getting on to me in the district and saying, hey, why can't you get these kids to score proficient? And, you know, because their money's all tied up, you know, public school, that's kind of how it is, you know, graduation rates, they have to get certain scores. There's all this pressure, especially if you're in the math department, good luck. Everyone's jobs are riding on you. And then you got a kid who, you know, maybe he was caught up in a gang shooting or something over the weekend. And so he's been ducking bullets and dodging bullets. He ain't worried about how to score on a standardized test, but it was crazy. I mean, the issues that I ran into. So I didn't know what I was doing. I was such a poor little innocent puppy. I didn't know what I was doing. I think about that poor little boy. And so for 3 years, I just, I made it through the day. I mean, I didn't have a great attitude. I wasn't like Mr. Great Teacher. I felt like Gideon when the angel of the Lord was like, hey, you mighty man of valor. You know, like I'm the last of the tribe, but the last of the tribe of Israel. You know, like my dad didn't even, you know, David, my dad didn't even pick me when they talked about who could be anointed. Like I felt like the worst math teacher in one of the more struggling schools in the department, like completely could not control my life at all. I just had to do what the district was saying. And the way that they do, maybe not everywhere in the country, but it's just so evil, in my opinion. Education, I'm sorry, but it has a monopoly. Mm-hmm. To me, public education, and there's good things about it, but it's a monopoly. It shouldn't be that way. Whenever you have monopolies in business, you know, monopolies tend to take advantage of their customer base because they know they're the only ones in town where people can get that service. So when you don't have monopolies, it's usually better for customers. Well, that's true in education. And so I'm all about school choice. I'm all about choice. The more freedom, you know, the more choice you have, usually you're more free. And I was so confined, I felt like, by the powers that be that I had to teach this way. But then the testing was testing something else that I didn't teach. And then somehow it's my fault, you know? So to kind of fast forward things, by the end of 3 years, at my 3 year, then I was getting pretty bitter. I was getting pretty like, what am I doing here? Like, I'm just punching the clock, trying to get a paycheck, you know, jobs were scarce, but at least I have employment. You know what I mean? But the kids are little, those punks, you know, I didn't have a good thing to say about them. I would just clicking through the slides. I mean, I really just was in a bad place, to be honest with you. And I was mad at the bosses. I just was in a bad place. I was. Well, around that time, hopefully I can say this kind of stuff on the radio. This is how I talk. One of my best friends in the world, shout out to you if you're listening, buddy named Daryl. I met him at a part-time job I worked at, and we became best friends. Strong Christian. The first thing I knew about him, he always would be like, well, how are you in God? Why don't you just trust God? He was always the guy that told me to trust God and pointed me to Jesus. That's Daryl. He can talk and makes me think about Christianity in such a high intellectual level that I never thought before possible. I'm like, is that what it says in the book? You know, I was constantly going back and doing that number. That's Daryl, right? Well, my buddy Daryl, who calls himself a 6 foot tall Asian redneck.
Yeah, it's a good story. Tell him.
6 foot tall Asian redneck. Okay. He's not really a redneck, but that's what he says. He thinks it's funny. So he calls himself a 6 foot tall Asian redneck. Anyway, he's probably my best friend, like one of my two best friends in the world. He's old enough to be my dad. I mean, in his 60s, and we have like this weird best friend relationship, but also he's like my mentor, but he's also like my best friend. I don't know. It's a unique God-given relationship.
Yeah.
He was visiting in town, right? Because he was moving, and he took me out to dinner. He goes, let's go get some dinner, because he knew I was complaining about my job on the phone. And he goes, you know what? Let's just talk. So we go out to eat at, some Japanese place, maybe something like that. And we're talking. He goes, well, tell me what's going on at school. I'm like, those kids just, man, they don't listen and blah, blah, blah. And this job stinks. And, you know, he just listened to me complain. And eventually he gets tired of listening to me complain. Shout out to him, because I needed to hear what he had to say. And he looked at me, and in my horrible, pitiful, I mean, I was pathetic, guys. I mean, if God sure wanted somebody to get glory out of, he picked the right guy, because I was pathetic, you know.
Yeah.
And he goes, Chris, you can be the head and not the tail. That's the first thing he said to me. Above and not beneath. You can be the head, not the tail at that school. He's getting real personal with it. I'm like, I know that verse, but like, you know, apply it to my life. What a weird thought. You know, you can be the head and not the tail at that school. And I was like, No, I can't. If I'm being completely honest with you, I said you're full of it. And I may have used different language because I was not necessarily in a good place that day. But Jesus knows me and he loves me. So anyway, I said, yeah, you're full of it. And he goes, no, you can be the head and not the tail. Why else does God have you there? He doesn't have you there to just complain about everything. Like you can bring the change. And I was like, you're full of it. And you know, you didn't hear me the first time. I said, they don't care what I have to say. My boss doesn't seem like he likes me. The people who are his bosses above him, who I thought as the puppet masters, were telling me I had to do it this way. And I knew it wasn't going to work. And the kids don't do their work. Half of them don't have a dad or a mom. They're bumming. No. You know, it's just bad. Okay. There's issues that have nothing to do with education that a lot of these kids have. I didn't understand that fully at the time, but I was just like, you're full of it. And he goes, no, listen, you can be the head, not the tail. I don't know why, but I'm not letting you up on this. You need to do something. I said, what do you think I'm going to do? As Daryl goes, well, why don't you just talk to your boss and say, hey, give me a year and I'm going to try it this way. That's how he worded it. Give me a year and I'm going to do this way. And he goes, if it works, they'll make everyone do it. That's how education works. Something worked in Wisconsin and then it really went well. They did a test study and then they made everybody else in the country do it that way. You know, he goes, why don't you do that? And I just said, you're full of it. I just don't believe you. I'm sorry, but I can't, I have no power here. I mean, I was in a bad place, right? Well, something you need to know about me. And if you're super too religious, this might sound weird, but God always, one of the ways he talks to me and he continues to do this, he's faithful and he never stops. He'll put what I need to see in front of my eyes. He does this all the time. I'll be talking to another Christian spirit-filled person and we're having a conversation about Jesus, or I'm confessing, like, I'm struggling with this. And then boom, I'll see this exactly what I need to see on Facebook. It's like, are you reading my conference? You know, it happens. Or, I remember one time something as simple as the pest control company I was about to use. And then I looked up the newspaper and there's an article at the top, all bold print, had the name of the pest control company that the other choice. And it was weird, the timing, like there's things like that. Anyway, one of the things that will happen with me is, this might sound weird, but it's not what it sounds like. It's actually just God putting the words in front of me. Fortune cookies at Asian restaurants. I'll be having a conversation with somebody and you'd be amazed how detailed God is. And I just look at it like, God, all things work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so the timing of when I'll read stuff, I remember one time I had to pass this very hard exam as for part of a job and I had failed it three times. And I was talking to another good believer and sharing what's God been doing in my life. And then at the Chinese restaurant, they bring up the bill and my cookie said, and I told him, I said, at the end of this month, I have to pass this test. And if I don't do it, I'm going to lose my job. I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm stressed out. The fortune cookie said, no obstacle will stand in the way of your success this month.
Bingo.
That's what it said. And he slips the paper to me and he goes, and that's not coincidence. And I'm like, I mean, it was weird. Like, why didn't I say have a nice day, you know, or good luck? You know, why didn't they give me something this generic? But it's no obstacle will stand in the way of your success this month. And the whole conversation we had been having that this afternoon was about this obstacle that was in my way this month, you know? And so anyway, that's happened a million different ways. So anyway, I'm talking to Daryl. He's telling me I can be the head, not the tail. I'm not believing him. He's like, no, I'm not letting up on this. You, God has you there for more than just to get a paycheck and you know, fortune cookie and the check come on the table, right? When he's saying this stuff. And I know he knows me. He knows my relationship with God. And he already was like scooting it at me and kind of winking almost arrogantly. And I'm like, you're so full of it. You think you know what that says? That's not you. You have no idea what you're talking about. And then he's pushing me. He goes, why don't you just open up that? Why don't you just open up that cookie? You know, while you're signing that bill. I said, how arrogant do you think you are? And I literally say these words. I said, it would have to be such specific wording. It would have to say the same things you and I have been saying in this conversation. There's no way for me to believe. It was like my Doubting Thomas moment. I would have to see the holes in his hand and I'd have to see this and this in order for me to believe. And, you know, we were saying words like the powers that be and all the forces and they control everything. And, you know, that's the phrases we were using. And they hand me I open up the cookie and I read it. And my head just drops. I just go, oh my God. And it says, your skills will accomplish what the force of many cannot. Your skills will accomplish what the force of many cannot.
Amen. Hello.
He didn't even see what it said. I read it and I dropped my head and he starts laughing. That's, you know, he just starts losing it. And I slipped the paper to him and then he's laughing even harder. I never, it's so weird, y'all, to to go from absolute certain that you're right, and then in one moment you know 100% that you were wrong and that this is now the truth and everything you were thinking was not true. I've grown in my relationship enough with the Lord to know when he spoke and he made it clear, and I was like, what is about to happen? So I remember the first thing I said to Daryl, I said, well, it's not skills. I don't feel like it's math. I mean, it's not math. I don't feel like I'm the worst math teacher there. You know, I'm giving all my Gideon excuses, basically, right? And he's just laughing, goes, well, we'll see what God's about to do. And I knew, I said, oh boy. So anyway, took that pill. I'm like, okay, apparently I can accomplish stuff and God is going to use me and I am the head, not the tail, but I have no idea how this works. No idea. Go home and I'm thinking about it. I have no idea. Go to sleep that night. Well, we have a habit in our family. I grew up with it, listening to Adventures in Odyssey. If you guys have ever listened to Adventures in Odyssey of folks in the family, we grew up listening to it. We went to sleep at night. If we couldn't sleep, we'll play it. My wife and I still do it. We're, you know, in our upper 30s and we'll still listen to it. The kids love it. So I decided I'm going to listen to an Odyssey. I can't sleep. I just need a phone. I don't know what God's doing. Oh, okay. Whatever. I'm listening to an Odyssey. The episode of Adventures in Odyssey that night, people. I mean, it was it was Chris Morris. It was about a woman who was a teacher and the kids were bored and not listening and she was losing her influence. And it was the theme. It sounded like what happened to me last week. I mean, if I think about the episode, it was exactly like this Johnny whose really name was Susie. I mean, everything about it just sounded like me. And the bottom line of the episode was she was the problem. The teacher was the problem. She had gotten lazy. She wasn't putting her best into it. She wasn't doing things with excellence. And the kids were responding in kind. And all the stuff that she was complaining about was actually her fault. Mm. And I'm listening to this going, I knew it was me. I knew it. I mean, I'm sitting in the bed. And by the time the episode's over, I'm like, oh, Lord. And so, guys, can y'all just make it easier on yourself? When God shows you what you are doing, that's sin that needs to be repented of, just go ahead and do it. Go ahead and agree with God. Unagree with yourself. Agree with God and let's get it going. All right. Because you're just making it worse. You're dragging it out. So I said to myself, okay, I'm the problem. I knew it because I had been lazy because I was getting down and I wasn't even putting that much into it. So I said to God, I said, okay, God, I need to repent. I know this. I know you. I know we got to do this. Okay. What does repentance look like? And so I was trying to imagine what this looks like. And this is my advice to people. You got to give God your 5 loaves and 2 fish. You got to give him your 5 loaves and 2 fish. Chris, what do you mean? Well, what I mean is, what is it that you have in the tank that you can give to God? What's the part that you can do so he can do the part only he can do?
Amen. Amen.
That's what's the part that you can do? For Moses, it wasn't much. It was like, oh, I got a stick in my hand. He was like, okay, good. But give me the wooden stone. You know, for me, I had to think about it. I said, Lord, I'm not even going to promise that I'm going to be a perfect little angel, but I will give you 2 weeks. I said, 2 weeks. I know I have that in the tank if I push it. For 2 weeks, I will do an hour and a half of lesson planning for every lesson I do at that school. I'm going to minimum. I will not prep any less than an hour and a half per lesson, which was a big step for me at the time. And so I said, okay, that's where I'm going to start. So I did it. Monday went in, lesson was okay, whatever. All right, I put an hour and a half in. Tuesday comes around, class wasn't actually so bad today, but whatever. Wednesday comes around, and when I was planning, I noticed I was starting to have ideas I never had before, y'all. And I would be like planning a lesson, and then a kid would pop in my mind. I'm like, oh, he actually really likes the show. I should mention it in the middle of this part of the lesson. Or, oh, so-and-so really likes this. And, oh, I'll put a funny video clip. So then like my sense of humor that I normally would have talking to my friends was starting to come out like in my lesson planning. And so then I'm already planning and I already have the kid's face. Oh, he's going to think this is funny. So I start embedding these little, personalized things in the lesson. And the kids are like listening to what I'm saying. And some of them are writing down notes. And some of them don't seem like they're drooling on, it was amazing. And so Thursday rolls around and this is what got my attention. There's this girl, we'll call her Cheryl. It's a horrible name for this girl, that she's not a Cheryl. But anyway, we're going to call her Cheryl. So Cheryl hated me. She told me this. It's not like I'm making this up. She said, Chris, I hate you. I said, well, why do I hate you? At the beginning of the year, she told me this. She goes, because you teach math and I hate math. I went, oh, I'm glad we're clear. Nice to meet you. I'm Mr. Morris. You'll be, you know, in my class this year. Cheryl hated me. She told her mom. Her mom hated me because her daughter hated me. And then we had a nice big hate fest together in the principal's office a few times. It was a horrible, horrible experience for Cheryl. Well, Thursday comes around and Cheryl is doing her math, which is a miracle. No short of parting the Red Sea. I mean, that was a miracle. Cheryl was doing her math and then class ended and the buzzer went off and they had to leave. And Cheryl says to me, or she just says out loud, oh no, class is over already. This is my favorite class this year. And she walks out the door.
Hey, Cheryl,
who thinks I'm the devil man? And I'm like, what? So, I mean, nothing miraculous happened that day other than that. I mean, that got my attention. I was like, if it was anybody else, that wouldn't have meant anything to me. But Cheryl said that. And I went, okay, maybe God is working. Huh. So I kept putting in the hour and a half. Class started to be a little less boring. I actually didn't hate work as much as I was used to hating it. You know, I was trying to hate it like I always was so good at doing, and I just couldn't. Well, I'm doing my lesson planning one day, my hour and a half, I promised the Lord, and I'm not an angel because I was watching SportsCenter while doing my lesson plan. So I'm not perfect, okay? God, his grace is sufficient. So I'm watching SportsCenter, doing my lesson planning because I had to do what I told God I was going to do. And while I'm watching SportsCenter, I happen to see a commercial come up. Y'all got to listen to this part, people. I see a commercial come up, and the commercial is for like the ESPYs. You know, that's like the Sports Academy Awards for the diva men who need more award and adulation. So then I'm flipping channels because I'm a dude. I can't just watch one thing. And I'm on ABC or something. I see an Academy Award commercial. So, and then like something else, an Emmy. And I'm like, what is up with these award shows, people? I'm like, why are they on every network? Why are we sheeple always trying to watch it to watch the same Tom Cruise win another best whatever? You know, like, I don't understand why people are obsessed with this stuff. And then my brain starts thinking thoughts. And I said to myself, self, why would this not work in the educational setting? Why couldn't we do like some sort of Academy Award style thing periodically, like in the math class? So then I'm like, I think I'm going to try this. I mean, nothing's working. I might as well, it's Hail Mary time, baby. I might as well try something. So then I'm thinking, I think I want to do it around my class. Like, what would I call it? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to call it either the Morriskers. I know what you're thinking. Or I could call it the Morrisseys because the ESPYs, the Grammys. So I said, when my wife gets home, I'm going to run it by her and see what she says. I said, babe, I'm thinking about doing a war show. Should I call it the Morriskers or the Morrisseys? She goes, Morriskers is horrible. Morrisseys, that's where it's at. I said, sounds good. Let's do it. So in pure Chris Morris fashion, the next day I'm going to go to work and I'm going to put the cart before the horse and I'm going to pitch this idea to my kids and I have no idea what it is. I don't know what a Morrissey is, but we're going to do them. So we start class. I got four blocks. I taught Algebra 2 two times and maybe two Algebra 1s. My Algebra 2 had seniors and juniors. I mean, these are like 17 and 18 year olds, people. Listen to what I'm about to tell you. We make it through about 45 minutes in class and I was waiting for the lull. Y'all know what a lull is? Hopefully you're not having a lull now. Well, I was waiting for the lull. When I felt the lull, I said, okay, when the lull hits, I'm going to start playing some Academy Award music and I'm going to pitch this thing and see how it goes. I'm desperate. Why not try it? So I pitch. What did I say? Oh, the lull hits. I go on YouTube. I type in Academy Award style music and I hook it up to my subwoofer and I'm blaring this thing about as loud enough to shake the whole school. I don't know how the principal didn't shut me down and fire me that day. I was so loud. And so all of a sudden the kids are about to fall asleep and all of a sudden you hear boom, boom, boom. And everyone's awake. Like, what happened? You know, is there a fight? I'm like, and I just look at the class and I said, from now on, every Monday, once a week, we're having what I'm dubbing the Math Morrissey Awards. No idea what I'm saying. Didn't rehearse it. Didn't write a script. Okay. Everyone's leaning in. I said, hey, Morrisseys have nothing to do with math. Now I really got their attention. Yeah. Nothing to do with math. All right. I'm like, what are you going to tell me? I said, Morrisseys are about your character. And I said, hey, Johnny, you know how you like to take your usual five naps a week in my class? I mean, you snooze, you get some good sleep, brother. You sleep through every single lesson. He goes, yep, that's me. I said, you think you could just take two naps next week instead of your usual five? You might win the Stay Awake Morrissey Award. Who knows? I might even bring you in a cup of coffee just to help with the cause. He goes, oh, man, I'll only take one. Sounds good. I go, all right. The music's still playing. I said, hey, Brenda, you know how you like to talk gossip behind Cheryl's head, you know, every other day and it starts this drama and then I always have to end up dealing with it and it's just a bunch of strife. I said, I want to see if you can make it just 1 hour and not say anything to her. She goes, oh, I can do that. So I'm going around the room and to be honest, people, I'm just telling each kid to their face what they have done all year that makes me mad. Yeah. I'm telling it to their face. But instead of them getting mad and me getting in trouble and talking to their parent or the principal, they're just looking at me like, tell me what I can do to please you, Mr. Morris. Oh, feels so good. Slap me on this side. I mean, that's literally their response. They're like, well, what do I need to do to win? So I'm just personalizing. I'm like, you haven't turned in an assignment in 3 weeks. Why don't you do half of an assignment and turn it in next week? No problem. So I do the pitch. By the time the music ends, I remember this one kid, I'm going to call him Brandon. He's standing up clapping. He's a junior, 17. Mr. Morris, you're going to win teacher with this. This is awesome. And they're all jumping up and down. I mean, I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I thought this was going to be pitiful. I'm desperate here, but I had to, you know, teacher, get in the face, get into character quickly. So I said, yeah, this is a good idea. Of course, you know, block two, same reaction. Block three, same reaction. All day, everyone is hyped for the Math Morrissey Awards. So I get home, I tell my wife, I say, hey, I better figure out what a Morrissey is, and I better figure it out fast, because I still don't know what it is. Is it a trophy? Is it a certificate? Like, I better figure this out, because everyone wants it. They don't know what they want, but they want it, you know? So I still don't know what it is. I'm leaning towards a certificate, but I don't know. The next day I go to work, this is when I'm like, oh my gosh. Now, keep in mind, this is like 2.5 weeks. Their skills will accomplish what the poor so many cannot. We're not too far away from that. I'm going into work. I teach a normal class. In between blocks, we had 5 minutes. So kids have 5 minutes to get their locker, get to the next class. They're rushing. They never want to talk to the math teacher because I'm the devil. Okay, that never happens. No one's talking to me. I get stopped on the shoulder in the hallway by Brooke. And she goes, hey. I'm like, Brooke wants to talk to me? This is a miracle. She goes, Mr. Morris. I go, what? She goes, I really want one of them Morrisseys. What I got to do to get a Morrissey? I was like, what? I said, well, turn in your homework that's overdue for 3 weeks, and then don't cuss out, you know, Cheryl in third blush. She goes, oh, yeah, no problem. She cusses it as she says, yeah. But then she walks off immediately. She doesn't fight. She just immediately complies. I walk maybe 5 steps, and I'm tapped on the shoulder again. It's Terrence from fifth block. Yo, Mr. Morris, man, what I got to do to get one of the Morrisseys, man? What I got to do to get one of the Morrisseys? You know what I'm saying? You know, I'm like, well, you know what I'm saying? You might want to do this. You know, stop doing this. So I get stopped the next day by at least 8 kids out of class asking, begging me to tell them what to do to change their behavior to make my life better at work so they can get a Morrissey that they don't know what it is. All right. Still haven't given out a Morrissey Award, people. It's Thursday. I gave myself a week. It's Thursday. I'll call this guy Joe. Okay. Okay, Joe. Joe is a Crip. He is a Crip. If you don't know what that is, that's a gangbanger. He, you know, wearing blue. Joe was a very smart kid, but he was just kind of doing evil stuff. Okay. Like if he wanted to apply himself to do math, he could, but he wouldn't do it because of his reputation. And so he wasn't like killing people on the weekends, but he's probably organizing it. You know, like that was Joe. Okay. You didn't mess with Joe. I knew about Joe. The SRO told me about Joe. My principal said, don't mess with Joe. You don't mess with Joe. He's in my class that year. So Joe doesn't do anything because he has to be cool and have his reputation. I'm in the middle of teaching probably the hardest lesson that year. It's called inverse logarithmic functions. Inverse logarithmic functions. Okay. Now the surgeon over there, he's fine. But for some of us, you might not know what that is. That was probably the hardest lesson for them that particular day. Okay. So I was like, how am I going to get them to do this? They're going to be complaining. They're going to be revolting. They're already lazy. How am I going to do this? Right. So I'm starting to teach the lesson. Well, you can't do the inverse operation of an exponential, blah, blah, blah. All of a sudden, Joe, the Crip, who does nothing, he yells in the middle of class, y'all, check it. It's not that hard. He goes, let me see that mark, Mr. Morris. And he storms up at me. He's a big dude now. So I'm kind of like, oh, okay. You know, I'm honestly kind of nervous with Joe. Joe grabs the marker and he starts teaching how to do inverse operations to the whole class, and he's doing it right. He hasn't missed one step or done anything wrong, and he actually is demonstrating understanding. And I'm just sitting in the back, like, what is going on? Am I dreaming? Like, I'm pitching myself. I'm still awake, you know. And he's rocking it, and the kids are listening because it's Joe. They're like, Joe might mess you up. Like, you better listen to him. So I'm just sitting back, like, okay, what's up? So finally, 30 minutes later, probably 30 minutes later, he's like, all right, Mr. Monster took care of it. And he walks back and he hands me the mark. I go, well, thanks, Joe. I'm thinking, you know, even a broken clock's right twice a day. Like, what just happened? Like, okay. So I grab the marker and I'm slowly like, all right, well, does anyone have any questions? That's actually exactly what I was going to say, you know? And I'm starting to get back into the swing of things 10 minutes in. And then at 10 minutes in, Mr. Joe, the Crip gangbanger, his hands up in the back of the room. And I'm like, yes, Joe. I mean, you want to come back up and explain something? He goes, no, I need to talk to you. And I was like, okay, well, my office hours, my planning's at 11:30. You can come back after this and that. He goes, no, you don't understand. I need to talk to you now. So I'm kind of like scared, to be real with you, but I have to act like I'm a tough teacher. So I'm like, okay, Joe. So I'm walking there. I'm like, oh, Jesus, please don't let him pull some mess. Like, I really don't need, I've seen some stories. Like, please, Joe. I have no idea what he's going to do. He goes, come closer. So I lean in. Now I'm really vulnerable. And he goes, look, I want one of them Morrissey's, dog. What I got to do to get Morrissey? And I went, oh, my.
Amen.
Oh, I mean, I didn't see it, y'all. Maybe y'all knew where this is going. I did not see it coming. I was mind blown. I'm like, you did all that for a Morrissey horse? And now I'm like, okay, even a thick school guy like me, I think I'm starting to get this thing. So I was like, I got to figure out what a Morrissey is, and I got to figure it out fast. So that weekend I got back. It was so pitiful. I got on Microsoft Office Word. I changed the font to Algerian and I said Math Morrissey Award. And I said, went to, you know, Joe for outstanding display of leadership in class. And I put a picture of a guy that, you know, looked tough on it and embedded it. And I put a little caption like it was a comic and I printed it out. I'm like, oh my God, are they going to think this is stupid or not? They loved it, y'all. I mean, ate it up to the point where that week, all the kids who got one were putting it in the outside of their notebooks. You know, they got that vinyl. They're putting it on the outside of their notebook, and they put it out. They put it on their lockers. They're walking around like, hey, I got a Morrissey, man. What's up? And now all the other kids in the other classes are like, what? I want a Morrissey. What? I got? I'm like, I don't even know you. You know? But everything was shifting. So check this out. What ended up happening is I had what teachers don't have for the first time ever. I had leverage. Yeah. If you don't know what leverage is when you have something people want so badly that they're willing to pay whatever price there is to get it. Think your cell phone. People spend $1,300 on an iPhone and they're paying a lot and they don't seem to whine about it. They do it because
Joe, they want it that bad. See if you can roll this into like 2 minutes and then I want to have time to give your information out to everybody.
Oh, so sorry.
Keep
okay.
This story going. This is great.
Yeah, I know. Oh, Lord. Part two. Okay. So anyway, so that was the kicker. What ended up happening was kids were on their best behavior. I ended up getting the best version of every kid every day because they all wanted to get this thing. And it was that hope. It was only a week out. They could handle a week. And so you would present that before them. I'm like, man, I was just about going to give you a Morrissey. But if you keep acting like that and talking to me like this, I'm going to have to change my mind. Issue resolved. My principal started liking me because I wasn't sending people to the principal's office. Life got fun. I was getting excited just sitting down making them. Like I was... It was just unreal. And so anyway, that was the beginning of it. It grew school-wide. We got to the point where I was teaching other schools how to do it, and I got business opportunities. And so it kind of led to what I'm doing now, where I'm working for myself, and I embed that when I can. But anyway, now I work for myself, Morris Model Education, and I do tutoring one-on-one online. I do 10-week courses. We just unveiled a special package that I think is really good for some families called the 7-day multiplication mastery challenge. And so a lot of these kids don't know their multiplication facts, so they can't reduce a fraction, they can't factor, they can't do any of this stuff. And so it's 7 days. It's kind of built on my principle, challenge them to give you 5 loaves and 2 fish. You can give me 7 days, and that kickstarts something, and God comes in and then he blows people's minds when a kid gets started. So
they get a Morrissey for that.
Yeah, you might. Ron, yeah. You've been paying attention, sir. I mean, you might get the Focus Morrissey Award. I'm telling you, keep that up, brother.
Right, give him a Morrissey.
Yeah, but anyway, well, that's
Joel, man, that's fantastic. Next week, see why I said we want to do two in a row. This is why. Make sure we can keep going and building on this. Let's see a minute. Bring up. You've got a book.
Yes,
you've got a great book, and TJ's there. He can bring up. It's your information for you, TJ. Maybe you could show that information. Appreciate we want that. Everybody listening and watching right now to see it. He's going to have it on the screen. Here it comes. Yeah. Make sure you mark this down. class act? Tell them a quick 30 seconds on the class act there.
Yeah. Joe. Okay. Chris, be short. Okay. Chris. Class act, changing the educational landscape through love. I mean, that story is in that book along with a ton of other stories of the crazy, wacky things that God took me through and the amazing things that God did. It's his glory. It's not mine. It's all him. And he used somebody like me, despite me, to get the glory. So if he can do it with me, he can do it with anybody else. But it's available on Amazon. It's a short read. It's probably like 160 pages, but buy it for someone who you know is in education, who needs encouragement. I talk about Jesus. I mean, we saw suicide get stopped. We saw gangbangers stop, you know, participating in deadly things. I mean, it just blew my mind the things God was able to address. He doesn't need much. He needs a sling and a stone, a wooden stick with a man, or maybe a piece of paper on a Word document called a Morrissey Award. God doesn't need much.
That's right.
Amen. So I talk about it there.
Amen. Well, guys, we let's put up the address also for how they get a hold of you. He says, you got that there?
Yeah,
we can put it up
great.
For everybody. Let's make sure they can see. There it is.
So, yeah, so one of the things we want to focus on this summer, you know, a lot of kids need to fill in learning gaps and hit some holes that they need. So this is my current business, MorrisModel.com. It's Morris Model Education. You can book a strategy session with me for free to talk about maybe you have a kid who's struggling or needs some foundations heading into high school math. Maybe there's some gaps there. If you scroll down to the bottom, I don't know if you can do that, TJ, you hear me at the bottom. That's the 7-day on the right, the bottom right with the kids. 7-day multiplication mastery challenge. If you want to go ahead and click on that where it says get it now, this is a cool thing we're doing. It's just a very small investment, but it can get the party started and change some things. And we have videos that come out once a day and challenges them and breaks it down. Do the twos and threes on Tuesday. Learn your fours and fives on this day. Learn your six and sevens. And we have fun games and competition. We make it fun. And so Amen. I love teaching. I love kids. I love doing my job. I love it.
Amen.
And I Amen. Didn't.
I wouldn't have picked that up.
It's all gone.
I wouldn't notice that.
All right. Never guess that. Hey guys, we just want to say this next week. Let's open up with a question to Joe right off the Joe. To Chris. Ever since your story, I'm thinking of the story.
No word for you, Joe. No word for you.
Yeah, you were in trouble, Joe.
Joe's good.
Oh no, next week. Trouble,
yeah. Yeah, let's think about how let's open up with a question for him to open the program. Everybody share a question, something you want to ask him. And very quickly, we've got 2 minutes. You know, watch the show all during the week. You, ladies and gentlemen, just go right to the website, go down to the agenda. You'll find it there. The programs, just hit today's date and the information will be there. We'll have it for you again next week. Also, Stephanie, you want to take 30 seconds there and jump on
sure.
that one?
So the website's bbsradio.com/raisingexpectations. You know that this world takes money and it takes money to be on the air. And we are so appreciative of your donations. You can do that with that little yellowish orangish button for PayPal. You can also reach out to Pastor Joe directly, but your generosity helps us reach so many people on multiple platforms. So we're very grateful that you do that. And we keep saying we want to make this longer, as you can tell. Yes. You know, we're ready for 2 hours.
Yes. Here we go. Yes. We're working on that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we want to, there's the programs. You can find them there. There's the books, the information on the books there. So, we're going to have to get off. We've got the greatest engineer in the world, and he's got really? Some things coming up. We want to make sure we're set for him. Chris, it's a blessing and an honor to have you with us tonight. We are blessed by Amen. Your life, brother. It's all about what God's doing in your life. Thanks for being with us, buddy. We appreciate it. We'll be praying for you, and we'll all be together. Ron, Stephanie, you lead off with a question next week. We'll go from there, everybody, and Ron, be set to go. Ron's very shy, but he'll have a question for you next week.
maybe a couple.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I've had a blast, and I can't wait to do it again.
Well, and you guys, so those of you that listen, you don't see all this, but there's a couple text things that go back and forth. And TJ, our engineer, says that was the hardest lesson to understand in math last year. So as Chris is talking, TJ's writing to us like, "Oh, it's so painful."
No, I just taught Braden.
Yeah, well, that's it. Well, we're jumping off the air now for TJ's timing. So, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. God bless you. Be encouraged. Hey, check your Chinese cookies and see what God's got for you. And, you know, we'll take it from there, whatever it is. And God bless you. We love you and appreciate you. We'll see you next week right here, same time, on Raising Expectations. We'll look forward to being with you. God bless you all.
God bless you. Thank you, guys.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556, or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.